Like yesterday, so we explained about the background of Achashverosh and why he's making all of these parties. And we explained why Vashti rebelled. She felt she was the Malka. And Achashverosh wants now to judge her without killing her. Because he feels that she's his status symbol, she's the queen, she's really a descendant from Malachim. So being married to someone like that is good for him. So he's not interested in getting rid of her, even though she was Moirate. We have to understand, I mentioned this yesterday, why can't Achashverosh judge her by himself? Why does he have to refer the matter to a court? See, seven ministers. And the answer is, it's a very important part of the story. There's a rule in the Persian constitution that says that any matter that directly affects the king, that personally affects the king is not allowed to judge. He has to give the matter over to a court. It's a very smart rule, if you think about it, because any time a minister gets the king annoyed, and the king could say, yeah, off with his head, so that freaks...
half a democracy.
Consider like an early version of the Magna Carta. Magna Carta was in the Middle Ages, it limited the power of the English kings. This was the same idea. So now we have to discuss a little about Memuchan. Memuchan is the seventh of these judges, but he decides to speak up first, because I'll say, you learn from here, that the cotton is kaifetz b'roish, because it's like we see when you have a family, a whole bunch of children, you know, the little ones always want to make the biggest impression, so they have to speak up first, and that's just the way it is. But we have to understand a little bit about Memuchan, who's Haman, because I'll say he's called Memuchan, Shemuchan Lepurnois. From this point, he is preparing himself for his own downfall. Now, Haman used to be a barber. He said Achashverosh used to be a stable master. So Haman used to be a barber. The numbers 1 and 2 in the whole world, you have the stable boy and the barber. So how did Haman become, how did he rise through society to become a minister of Achashverosh, from becoming a barber? So the answer is, he has a wife named Zeresh. She is a Persian woman, and she's a genius, highly intelligent, very skilled in diplomacy and politics, and she coached her husband, Pashut, to decline through the ladder of society until he finds himself that he's now amongst the ministers of Achashverosh. So Chaira Haman should have a lot of gratitude to his wife. He's an Amaleki. Amalekim have the worst midas in the entire world. And one of the worst midas amongst that is Kfir B'Tayv. He's ungrateful. Not only does he not appreciate Zeresh, he dafka wants to get back at her. He wants to be mitnakem against her, because he can't stand the fact that he owes anyone anything. Furthermore...
That's a small question?
Yeah.
In Memuchan, there's a shita that he was the Nir, right?
Hasoch, later.
Not
Memuchan, Hasoch is the Nir. So it comes out, that's one of the reasons he's angry at Zeresh, but there's another reason. He had a thing that he wanted everyone in his household should speak his language, Amaleki. But Zeresh refused. She's Persian, she wants to speak Parsi. And that also annoyed Haman to no end. And the third thing we have to know, in order just to understand the background behind his whole speech here, is that Haman was physically he was a midget. And Zeresh was a large, she was a balas kaima, and, you know, he's very intimidated by her. All these things are in his mind when he's giving advice to the king. So, Bayomer Memuchan Lefnei HaMelech V'Asonim, Pasuk Tazayin. We're not going to go through it inside. There are two main points that Haman says to Achashverosh. Achashverosh, why are you referring to this whole matter to us? because there's the rule that a king cannot decide matter, personal matters for himself. So he has to give it over to the court. But you know what? You think it's just you, the king, that Vashti has insulted here? She's sinned against just the king? Not true. You see, every woman in the world is going to hear about this. Vashti defies her, her husband, the king. And they're going to be very inspired. Well, the feminists, right? They're going to say, well, if the queen can defy her, her husband, the king, so too I can defy my husband. That's one Nekuda Haman mentions. There's a second one, though. You see, L'chaira, not only was Haman Mamuchan, but Haman was also Mahuman. Also mentioned earlier, Mahuman was the first of the seven Sarisim whose job it was to go fetch Vashti. So remember we said over yesterday, Vashti didn't just say no. She said, you tell that stable master husband of mine that he gets tipsy from a couple of drinks. He's not true royalty. So Haman heard all that, and all of the women, all of the Sarais heard that. So Haman tainas that today, that rumor is going to spread all over the kingdom, all over Shushan. It's going to be in all the tabloids. Wife to husband, king stable boy. And Kedai Bizoin Vakotze. If you can imagine kind of Bizoin, that's going to be the king. So you see, Haman is very skilled. He knows how to spin a good tale, as they say. So he's got Achashverosh's ear. So, new Haman, what do you have to propose here? First of all, Emal HaMelech Toiv Yeisei Dvar Malchus Melefonov. First of all, I suggest we change this law. The idea that a king can't decide matters of himself. Achashverosh, you don't need a court. You can decide matters by yourself even if it personally affects you. Because in any case, as I just showed you, even if when it's a matter that L'chaira only is shayach to the king, it's really shayach to everyone else. Because everyone's going to learn from Vashti. That's one thing I'm on the tainus. And two, that the queen, Vashti, should no longer be allowed to come before the king. Mida k'neged mida, you asked her to come out, she refused. So now, mida k'neged mida, she's never going to be allowed to come to the king. When you put two and two together, what Haman has just suggested is the opposite of what Achashverosh wanted. Achashverosh wanted that don't kill Vashti. But that's what Haman essentially did. Because he's telling her, she's never allowed to come before the king. If she's never allowed to come before the king, then she's as good as dead. What point is there for a queen who's never around the palace? So it's a way of getting rid of her without directly saying so. But remember, Haman is out to get his own wife, Zeresh. So he can't obviously kill his own wife just because she defies him. But by saying that the gzeira against Vashti should be mida k'neged mida, oh, that's something Haman can use for himself. I could say that you don't fall into line, Zeresh, so mida k'neged mida, I can now force you to be subservient to me.
The original says, Malchus Toiv Ten HaMelech Nerusah Toiv HaMelech. So how would that be translated?
We'll get to that later. It means that you'll replace Vashti with a Miucheses, Rusah, a Toimena, and she's also good looking. That will come up later when we see how Achashverosh goes about choosing a new queen. So, this is a tremendous nace. We understand why the king would appreciate Haman's advice. First of all, he was just told that he can now decide matters pertaining to himself, and people are going to be all the more in fear of him. That's excellent for Achashverosh. But we don't understand why the Sarim are approving of this. The Sarim should say, Haman, you're crazy. Because now, any time Achashverosh gets into a bad mood, he can say to any of Tsar, off with his head. But, and it was an S, and they approved. So the Chaira, what's Pshat? Why did they approve? Granted, it's an S, but there has to be a Pshat. So I want to the Taina that when they heard about the part of Haman's speech, that B'chola Noshim Yitnu Yikar Levalehen Lemigodol Vatkatan, all women have to pay homage, I mean they have to respect their husbands, whether big or small. Agav Haman added that phrase, small, because like we said before, he himself was a small man. So, and Zeresh was much bigger than him. So even if he's small, Kamashman, his wife still has to respect him. So when the Sarim heard that, it fed their egos, and that's why they approved of Haman's plan. Oh, that the wives, oh, now they have to, we can force them to pay respects to us. Okay? Because I'll say something interesting, that Ahasuerus approves the plan, they send out letters to the whole Malchus. What's the content of this letter? Umadaber Kilshainam, he has to speak the language of the people. Haman added that too, like we said before, he wanted Zeresh to speak Amaleki, so that's why he added that clause B'chlal. But when people are looking at this letter, what's their reaction? They're saying, what kind of stupid king is this? I need to be told that I'm the Sayyid of Beveis, I'm the master of my house. It's such an obvious fact. Of course the husband is the master of the house. Why then, you know, why should not be that way? So because of this letter, the Jewish people are still around today. It's an unbelievable Gemara. Because there's going to be another letter coming up, instigated by Haman, of Chas V'Shalom, that all the Jews should be annihilated on a single day, the 13th of Adar. Now, if it weren't for this first letter, the Goyim perhaps would have said, hey, I'm getting a royal decree to wipe out the Jews. Why wait till Yud Gimel Adar? Let's do it now. There would be nothing left of the Jews, Chas V'Shalom. But now that they see this first letter, they're wary about their king. They're saying, what kind of, you know, dummy is this? So now that he tells me the 13th of Adar, you know, I better not. Maybe the 13th of Adar is his birthday for all I know, and he'll be upset that he won't get a proper birthday present. So I can't take chances anymore. Now the Dafka waited, and in the meantime, of course, there was the mess. So the Rabbanu Shalom has executed the first part of the plan, that Vashti is out of the picture, even though Ahasuerus was determined. He's not getting rid of her. Nonetheless, Hashem, Atzas Hashem Yisokum, and that's what happened. So in the second parak, what's happening here is that Ahasuerus is very angry because he's still remembering about his Vashti, called him a stable master, and he can't vent his anger, he can't tell anyone about it because he doesn't want people to know he's a stable master. So he's been angry for weeks on end, but all of a sudden, Kishaych, Amas HaMelech, so Zochas Vashti, Rashi on the Pasuk here says that he remembered how beautiful she was. There's nothing about the fact that she was Bas Malachim that he doesn't remember. He just remembers how beautiful she was, and he went into depression. Till now he was angry in a fit of rage, and now he's depressed. So who comes to the rescue here? Vayomru, the hidden heroes of the Megillah, the Narei HaMelech Misharsav. Who are the Narei HaMelech Misharsav? The palace domestic staff, the ones who mop the floors and feed the king his meals and give him his schnapps and polish the brass and whatnot. So we have to ask, why are they the ones who are giving the king very important advice, how to pick your new queen? So Rebbe suggests the Sarim are not on the scene here. Why? Because now that Ahasuerus has the ability to kill any Tsar at will, and he's in a rage all these weeks, no Tsar is going to dare try to go into the palace at this time. If anything, they'll ask, you know, the butler, is it safe to go in again? And the butler will show him, you know, the big red mark on his head and say, no, it's, you see, he's still angry, you know, wait another week or two. And this is unbelievable hashkacha, because if a Tsar was on hand, he would have already said, like Haman said, he said before, Larusa Taivimena, what's Larusa? I'm Yuchesis. she should be beautiful, but she should be miuchesed. That makes sense. It doesn't make sense to choose a queen who's just beautiful, and we don't know anything about where she's from. So if a tsar was on hand, that's what he would say. But the tsarim are not there. They're afraid for their lives. Who's there? The Nari Melchishedek, because they can't leave the king to himself just because he has mood swings. They have to be there. You can't let the king starve. So they're the ones who are on hand to give the king advice. This is a big mess. Because Nari Melchishedek, what advice are they going to give the king? Just find a new beautiful woman and she'll be the new queen. Nothing about Yichus. So the Nari Melchishedek, they said, Yivakshu Melchishedek Psos Toivis Mara. See, the only word they used, Toivis Mara, not the word Reusa that Haman used. Nothing to do with Yichus, just beauty. The reason why this is such an important S is that we're going to see how Mordecai is going to instruct Esther, don't reveal anything about your background, mamish, not an iota. So they're interviewing all the various candidates for who's going to be the new queen. If Yichus has anything to do with this, so imagine a given woman comes saying, what's your name? Doesn't answer. Father's name? Doesn't answer. Mother's name? Nationality from? What's your religion? Country from? Going there, she's not saying anything. Does that woman stand a chance of becoming the new queen? If Yichus has anything to do with it, of course not. Before we know this woman is a mamzeris, you can't make such a approach to the queen. But now that Ahasuerus is listening to the Nari Melchishedek's advice, just find another beautiful woman in Farthik. Oh, so if it's just the beauty you want, send a check, rest and become the new queen. Important, very unbelievable nice. Okay. Ish Yehudi Haya B'shushin Habiro. At this point, it's important, and we'll take this up tomorrow, but you have to understand, Sunday rather, we're going to explain, there are a lot of twos that we see throughout Purim. 2 days of Purim, there are two heroes, Mordechai and Esther. What's the whole point of all these twos? Why is it important? That Pesach Hashem will take
out.
What?
Two meaning in Mishlach Manas.
Interesting. I don't know if that's relevant. No. Well, we'll see Pesach Hashem on Sunday. Why? What's the whole point of two? We'll see that there were two Averis that Klal Yisrael committed, which caused the Gzeir of the Hashem and Hagul Abed. So you needed two Tikkunim. And that's why Mordechai and Esther helped Klal Yisrael to do. Okay, let's discuss that. Go ahead.